dusty, faded, stringy curtains. I've got to get out of here. I've got to get the hell out of here before I really blow my cool all the way. I'm scared and lonely and I'm sick. I'm as sick as I've ever been in my life. I tried not to let myself think of home till Doris got started on her screwing life's history, and now I'm really falling apart at the seams. God, if I had enough money, I would go back where I came from, or at least call. Tomorrow I'll go back to the church and ask them to call my folks. I don't know why I've acted like such an ass when I've always had it so good. Poor Doris has had nothing but shit since she was 10 years old. Her mother was married 4 times by the time Doris was 10, and had humped with who knows how many men in between. And when Doris had just turned 11, her current stepfather started having sex with her, but good. And the poor little stupid bastard didn't even know what to do about it, because he threatened to kill her if she ever told her mother or anyone else. So she put up with a son of a bitch bawling her till she was 12. Then one day, when he had hurt her pretty bad, she told her gym teacher why she couldn't do the exercises. The teacher had her taken away and put into a juvenile home till they could find a foster home. But even that wasn't much better, because both the teenage brothers gave it to her, and later on an older teenage girl tuned her in and turned her on drugs, then took her the homo route. Since then, she's pulled down her pants and hopped into bed with anyone who would turn down the covers or part the bushes. Oh, Father, I've got to get out of the cesspool. It's sucking me down and drowning me. I've got to get the hell out of here while I still can. Tomorrow. Tomorrow for sure. After the goddamn rain stops. Date unknown. Who the hell cares? At last the goddamned rain has stopped. The sky is as blue as it was ever meant to be, which I gather is unusual for this area. Doris and I are both going to cut out of this asinine-ass place. There's going to be a rally in Southern California. Wow, here we come. Date unknown. I'm actually and literally and completely sick to my stomach. I want to puke all over this shitty world. Most of the way down, we rode with a big, fat-assed, baby-screwing truck driver who picked us up and got his kicks by physically hurting Doris and watching her cry. When he stopped for gas, we both sneaked out, even though he had threatened us. Man, what a mother. We finally got another ride with some of our kind. And while they shared their grass with us, it must have been some homegrown stuff, because it was so fucking weak it could barely get us off terra firm. Date unknown. The rally itself was great. Acid and booze and pot as free as the air. Even now colors are still dripping down over me. And the crack in the window is beautiful. This life is beautiful. It's so goddamn beautiful I can hardly stand it. And I'm a glorious part of it. Everybody else is just taking up space. Goddamn stupid people. I'd like to shove life down all their throats, and then maybe they'd understand what it's all about. Near the door, a fat girl with long, stringy blonde hair is getting to her knees on a green upon green upon purple robe. She's got a guy with her, and he has a ring in his nose and multicolored designs on his shaven head. They keep saying love to each other. It's beautiful to watch. Color intermingled with color. People intermingled with people. Color and people intercoursing together. Date unknown. I don't know what or when or where or who it is. I only know that I am now a priestess of Satan, trying to maintain after a freakout to test how free everybody was and to take our vows. Dear Diary, I feel awfully bitched and pissed off at everybody. I'm really confused. I've been the digger here, but now when I face a girl, it's like facing a boy. I get all excited and turned on. I want to screw with a girl, you know, and then I get all tensed up and scared. I feel goddamn good in a way, and goddamn bad in a way. I want to get married and have a family, but I'm afraid. I'd rather be liked by a guy than a girl. I'd rather screw with a guy. But I can't. I guess I've had a bit of a bummer. Sometimes I want one of the girls to kiss me. I want her to touch me, to have her sleep under me, but then I feel terrible. I get guilty, and it makes me sick. Then I think of my mother. I think of screaming at her and telling her to make room for me because I'm coming home and I feel like a man. Then I get sick, and I just want anybody, and I should be out doing my digging. I'm really sick. I'm really way out of it. Dear Diary, it's 1,000 light years later, lunar time. Everybody's been storytelling except me. I don't have any stories worth telling. All I can do is draw pictures of monsters and internal organs and hate. Date unknown. Another day, another blowjob. The fuzz is clamped down till the town is mother dry. If I don't give Big Ass a blow, he'll cut off my supply. Hell, I'm shaking on the inside more than I'm shaking on the outside. What a bastard world without drugs. The dirty Ofe who wants me to lay it on him knows my ass is dragging, but he's doling out the only supply I know about. I'm almost ready to take on the fat cats, the rich Philistines, or even the whole public for one good shot. Goddamn Big Ass makes me do it before he gives me the load. Everybody's just lying around here like they're dead, and little Jason is yelling, "Mama, Daddy can't come now. He's humping Carla." I've got to get out of this shithole. Date unknown. I don't know what the hell hour or day or even year it is, or even what town. I guess I've had a blackout, or they've been passing out some bad pills. The girl in the grass beside me is white-faced and Mona Lisa-like, and she's preggers. I asked her what she was going to do with the baby, and she just said, "It will belong to everybody. We'll all share her." I wanted to go and find someone who's holding, but the baby thing really bugged me. So I asked her for an upper, and she just shook her head like a stupid blank, and I realized that she's completely burned out. Behind that beautiful stone face is a big, dried-up bunch of ashes, and she's lying there like a stupid, dumb shit who can't do anything. Well, at least I'm not burned out, and I'm not preg. Or maybe I am. I couldn't take the goddamn pill even if I had it. No doper can take the pill because they don't know what the hell day it is. So maybe I am pregnant. So what? There's a pre-med dropout wandering around somewhere who will take care of it. Or maybe some goddamn prick would stomp on me during a freakout and I'd lose it anyway. Or maybe the son of a bitch bomb will go off tomorrow. Who knows? When I look around here at all the ass-draggers, I really think that we are a bunch of gutless wonders. We get pissed off when someone tells us what to do. But we don't know what to do unless some fat bastard tells us. Let somebody else think for us, and do for us, and act for us. Let them build the roads, and the cars, and the houses, run the lights, and the gas, and the water, and the sewers. We'll just sit here on our blistered tails with our minds exploding and our hands out. God, I sound like a goddamn establishmentarian. And I haven't even got a pill to take the taste out of my mouth. Or drive the bullshit thoughts away. When? A raindrop just splashed on my forehead, and it was like a tear from heaven. Are the clouds and the skies really weeping over me? Am I really alone in the whole wide gray world? Is it possible that even God is crying for me? Oh, no. 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 I'm losing my mind. Please, God, help me. Date unknown. I gather from the sky that it's early morning. I've been reading a paper that the wind blew up beside me. It says one girl had her baby in the park, another had a miscarriage, and two unidentified boys died during the night from ODs. Oh, how I wish one of them had been me. Another day. I finally talked to an old priest who really understands young people. We had an endlessly long talk about why young people leave home. Then he called my mom and dad. While I waited for him to get the call through, I looked at myself in the mirror. I can't believe that I have changed so little. I expected to look old and hollow and gray. But I guess it's only me on the inside that is shriveled and deteriorated. Mom answered the phone in the family room, and Dad ran upstairs to get the extension. And the three of us almost drowned out the connection. I can't understand how they can possibly still love me and still want me, but they do. They do. They do. They were glad to hear from me and to know I'm all right. And there were no recriminations or scoldings or lectures or anything. It's strange that when something happens to me, Dad always leaves everything in the whole world and comes. I think if he were a peace mission involving all humanity in all the galaxies, he would leave to come to me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He truly does. I just wish I could love myself. I don't know how I can treat my family like I have. But I'm going to make it all up to them. I'm through with all the shit. I'm not even going to talk about it or write about it or even think about it anymore. I'm going to spend the rest of my entire life trying to please them. Dear Diary, I couldn't sleep, so I've been wandering the streets. I look kind of square because I don't want to seem weird when my parents get here. I've got my hair tied back in a ponytail, and I traded clothes with the most conservative girl I could find, and I'm wearing an old pair of white tennies I found in the gutter. At first, the kids I talked to in the coffee house seemed a little uptight because of the way I looked. But when I told them I'd called my folks to come and get me, they all seemed glad. It seems inconceivable that all the time Chris and I were in Berkeley, we didn't find out anything about any of the kids. It was just one big tearing down everything and everybody vacuum. Tonight I learned about Mike and Marie and Heidi and Lilac and many others. I'll probably use up the rest of the pages writing about them, but that's good, because I want to get a fresh, new, clean book when I get home. You, dear diary, will be my past. The one I will buy when we get home will be my future. So now I must hurry and write about the people I have met just this night. It simply amazes me that so many parents and kids have trouble over their hair. My parents were always bugging me about mine. They wanted me to curl it or cut it or get it out of my eyes or tie it back, etc., etc., etc. Sometimes I think that was our biggest bone of contention. I met Mike at the coffee house, and after explaining my situation and my current curiosity about why kids run away, he became very communicative and told me that hair had been one of his problems, too. In fact, his dad had become so angry that twice he had forcibly shaved his head and sideburns. Mike said his parents were taking away all his freedom and power of decision. He was becoming dehumanized, mechanized, forced into the mold of his father. He wasn't even allowed to decide which classes he wanted to take in school. He said he wanted art, but his parents thought only weaklings and bums were artists. Finally, he ran away to preserve his personality and sanity. So I told Mike about the church and their efforts to bring about a new and human arrangement between my parents and me. I hope he goes there. Then I talked to Alice, who I met just sitting stoned on the curb. She didn't know whether she was running away from something or running to something, but she admitted that deep in her heart, she wanted to go home. The others I talked to, the ones who had homes, all seemed to want to go back, but felt they couldn't because that would mean giving up their identity. It made me think about the hundreds of thousands of kids who have run away and are wandering around all over the place. Where do they come from? Where do they even manage to crash for the night? Most of them don't have any money and don't have anywhere to go. I think I'll go into child guidance when I get out of school. Or maybe I should become a psychologist. At least I'd be able to understand where kids are at, and maybe that would help compensate for what I've done to my family and myself. Perhaps it was even right for me to go through all this suffering so that I could be more understanding and tolerant of the rest of humanity. Oh, dear, wonderful, trusting, friendly diary. That's exactly what I'll do. I'll spend the rest of my life helping people who are just like me. I feel so good and happy. I finally have something to do for the rest of my life. Wow. I'm through with drugs, too. I've used the hard stuff only a few times, and I don't like it. I don't like any of it. The uppers or the downers. I'm through with the whole mess. Absolutely and completely and forever. Really, I am. Later. I've just read the stuff I wrote in the last few weeks, and am being drowned in my own tears. Suffocated. Submerged. Inundated. Overpowered. They are a lie. A bitter, evil, cursed lie. I could never have written things like that. I could never have done things like that. It was another person, someone else. It must have been. It had to be. Someone evil and foul and degenerate wrote in my book. Took over my life. Yes, they did. They did. But even as I write, I know I'm telling even a bigger lie. Or am I? Has my mind been damaged? Was it really just a nightmare and it seems real? I think I've mixed up things which are true and things which are not. All of it couldn't be true. I must be insane. I have lamented until I am dehydrated. But calling myself a wretched fool, a beggarly, worthless, miserable, paltry, mean, pitiful, unfortunate, woebegone, tormented, afflicted, shabby, disreputable, deplorable human being isn't going to help me either. I have two choices. I must either commit suicide or try to rectify my life by helping others. That is the path I must take, for I cannot bring further disgrace and suffering upon my family. There is nothing more to say, dear diary, except I love you, and I love life, and I love God. Oh, I do. I really do. Diary number 2. April 6. What a wonderful time to start a new diary and a new life. It's spring. I'm home again with my family. Gran and Gramps will be here for another reunion with the prodigal daughter. Tim and Alexandria are just themselves, and nothing could be better. I don't remember who wrote, "God is in his heaven and all's right with the world," but that's exactly the way I feel. Anyone who has desperately needed to come home knows what a tremendous feeling it is to be lying in his own bed. My pillow, my mattress, my old silver hand mirror. It all seems so permanent, so old and new at the same time. But I wonder if I will ever feel completely new again. Or will I spend the rest of my life feeling like a walking disease? When I go into counseling, I'm really going to try to make kids see that getting into drugs simply isn't worth the bullshit. Sure, it's great and groovy going on trips. I will never be able to say it isn't. It's exciting and colorful and dangerous. But it isn't worth it. It simply isn't worth it. Every day for the rest of my life, I shall dread weakening again and becoming something I simply do not want to be. I'll have to fight it every day of my life. And I hope God will help me. I hope I haven't ruined everyone's life by coming home. I hope Tim and Alex wouldn't be better off if I'd stayed away. April 7. Today, Tim and I took a long walk through the park. I talked to him honestly about drugs. After all, he's 13 and knows kids who use pot at school. Of course, I didn't tell him the details about my past, but we did discuss the important things in life, like religion and God, and our parents and the future and the war and all the things that kids talk about when they're stoned. It was different and really beautiful. Tim has such a clear, decent, honorable outlook on life. I'm glad he's my brother. I'm proud he's my brother. I'm grateful that he'll be seen with me. I'm sure it's embarrassing to him because everyone knows I was busted and that I ran away. Boy, have I ever messed up my life. Tim and I can communicate, and he says he can pretty well bridge the gap with Mom and Dad. He's very tolerant about their position as parents and tries to see things from their point of view. He's really a very special person. I wonder how much of his mature outlook I'm responsible for. I know he must have done a lot of thinking while I was missing and Mom and Dad were losing their minds with worry and fear and anxiety. Crap, what an idiot I've been. April 8. Today, Gran and Gramps arrived. We went to the airport to meet them, and I cried like a big boob. They seem to have aged so much, and I know I'm responsible for much of it. Gramps is completely gray, and Gran's face is lined with deep furrows that weren't there the last time I saw her. Could I have done all that in a month? In the car on the way home, Gramps scratched my back like he used to do when I was a little girl and whispered to me that I had only to forgive myself. He's such a nice man, and I shall really try, although I know it won't be easy. I must try to make them proud of me again. Later. I couldn't sleep, so I got up and took a walk around the house. Alex's mother cat just had a batch of baby kittens, and I sat on the porch and just kept looking at them. It was a revelation. Without drugs. Without anything but kittens, whose fur is like all the softness in the world put together. It was so soft that when I closed my eyes, I wasn't sure I was even touching it. I put the little gray one, named Happiness, up to my ear, and felt the warmth in her tiny body and listened to her incredible purring. Then she tried to nurse my ear, and the feeling in me was so big I thought I was going to break wide open. It was better than a drug trip. 1,000 times better, 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000,000 times. These things are real. The softness wasn't a hallucination. The sounds of the night, the car swishing by, the crickets. I was really there. I heard it. I saw it, and I felt it, and that's the way I want life to always be. And that's the way it will be. April 9. Today, I went back to school and was called into the principal's office immediately. He informed me that he had a record of my behavior and that I was a disgusting example of young American womanhood. Then he told me that I was thoroughly selfish, undisciplined, and immature, and that he wouldn't tolerate any misbehavior on my part at all. Then he sent me to my classes, like garbage thrown into disposal. What a jerk. If I ever had any doubts about going into psychiatric work and guidance work, I don't have them now. Kids need understanding, listening, caring individuals. They need me. The coming generation needs me. And that poor, stupid, idiot man who has probably run hundreds of kids out of school has given me a personal challenge. He may drive other kids away, but not me. I studied for 4 hours tonight, and I'm going to study my stupid head off until I'm completely caught up, even if it takes me 7 or 8 hours a night. See ya. April 10. Now that I have a goal, I feel a lot stronger myself. In fact, I'm feeling stronger every day. Maybe I can really resist drugs now, instead of just conning myself like I did before. April 11. Dear Diary, I don't want to write this down because I really want to blot it out of my mind forever, but I'm so terrified that maybe if I tell you it won't seem so terrible. Oh, Diary, please help me. I'm scared. I'm so scared that my hands are sticky and I'm actually shaking. I guess I must have had a flashback because I was sitting on my bed planning my mother's birthday, just thinking about what to get her and how to make it a surprise, when my mind got all mixed up. I can't really explain it, but it seemed to be rolling backwards, like it was rolling in on itself, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. The room got smoky, and I thought I was in a head shop. We were all standing around reading the ads for the secondhand junk and for every kind of sex deal imaginable. And I started to laugh. I felt great. I was the highest person in the world, and I was looking down at everyone, and the whole world was in strange angles and shadows. Then suddenly it all changed into some kind of underground movie. It was slow and lazy, and the lighting was really weird. Naked girls were dancing around, making love to statues. I remember one girl ran her tongue along a statue and he came alive and took her off into the high blue grass. I couldn't really see what was happening, but he was obviously putting it to her. I felt so sexy I wanted to break wide open and run after them. But the next thing I remember, I was back on the street, panhandling, and we were all shouting at the tourists. Mighty kind of y'all. I hope you have a nice orgasm with your dog tonight. Then I felt like I was being smothered, and I was up in a glare of revolving lights and beacons. Everything was going around. I was a shooting star, a comet piercing the firmament, blazing through the sky. When I finally got myself together, I was lying on the floor, nude. I still can't believe it. What's happening to me? I was just lying on my bed, planning my mother's birthday, listening to records, and bam! Maybe it wasn't a flashback. Maybe I'm schizo. That often starts in teenagers when they lose contact with reality, doesn't it? Whatever it is, I'm really screwed up. I can't even control my mind. The words I wrote when I was out are just squirming little lines and roads with a lot of rotten crap and symbols in between. Oh, what am I going to do? I need someone to talk to. I really and truly and desperately do. Oh, God, please help me. I'm so scared. And so cold. And so alone. I have only you, Diary. You and me. What a pair. Later. I've done a few problems in math and even read a few pages. At least I can still read. I memorized a few lines and my mind seems to be functioning pretty well now. I did exercises too and I guess I've got control of my body. But I wish I had someone to talk to. Someone who knows what's happening and what will happen. But I don't, so I must forget this thing. Forget, 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 and not look back. I'll go ahead with Mom's party. Maybe I can get Tim and Alex to take her to an early movie after school, and then I can have a lovely dinner ready on the table when they get home. I'll pretend this has all been a nightmare and forget it. Please, God, let me forget it. And don't let it happen again. Please. Please, please. April 12. I kept very busy today, and I didn't think about it once. I think I'll set my hair the way Mom likes it for tomorrow. That should make her happy. April 13. It was a lovely birthday. Tim and Alex took Mom to see an early movie, which I think she liked even more than they did. Dad had to work late at his office, and I was glad because I would have felt terribly self-conscious with him in the kitchen and me not knowing what I was doing. But everything just turned out beautifully. The chicken looked like Better Homes and Gardens's, only better, because it smelled good, too. And the asparagus was nice and tender, and the rolls were just exactly like Gran would have made. In fact, I wish she had been here. She would have been proud of me. We had a fresh fruit cup and wilted lettuce salad with bacon dressing. It was a little too wilted, in fact, much too wilted, but everyone pretended they didn't notice, and Daddy teased me and said he wouldn't be surprised if I didn't make some young man a good wife someday. I hope he didn't notice the tears in my eyes, because I so much want to do just that. For dessert, we just had fresh peach ice cream with frozen peaches over it, and the whole thing was really pretty great, particularly since it was the first complete meal I ever cooked by myself. Alex made Mom a little ceramic candy dish shaped like her hand. It's really lovely, and all the more lovely because, with the help of only her Girl Scout teacher, she had it fired and everything without Mom even knowing. I used to be kind of jealous of Alex, and I guess I had a lot of hostility toward her, even though I loved her. But now things are different. I really feel something new and wonderful and exciting is beginning to grow within me. Maybe that's the way people get extra love to cover every child that's born? Oh, I do hope that someday someone will want to marry me. April 14. I got up really early this morning so I could take a long, leisurely bath before Tim and Alex start pounding on the bathroom door. It was great. I love taking my time and enjoying life. After I shaved my legs and underarms, I really looked at my body critically for the first time in my life. It's a nice body, but a little small through the bust. I wonder what would happen if I exercised. But then I guess I'm afraid that I'd wind up looking like a Jersey cow. I'm glad I'm a girl. I even like having my periods. I guess I never wanted to be a boy. A lot of girls do wish they were boys, but not me. It's hard to believe that at one point I was so screwed up I didn't know what I was. Oh, I wish I could wipe away all that rotten past. I know Gramps is right. I must forgive and forget, but I just can't. I simply can't. When I'm having the very nicest thoughts, the black, ugly past comes flooding in like a nightmare. And it's ruined my whole day already. Date unknown. Guess what? Your genius friend got everything right on her English exam today. I know I did, because it was so easy, and I think I did almost as well in math. I might have missed two or three, but I know it couldn't have been more than that. Isn't that exciting? April 19. Cripes! It started again. I met Jan downtown, and she asked me to a party tonight. None of the kids think I'm really going to stay off, because most of those who've been busted before are just being more careful and discreet. When I told Jan, no thanks, she just smiled. It scared me to death. She didn't say anything at all. She just smiled at me like, we know you'll be back. Oh, I hope not. I really hope not. April 21. George just says hi to me in the coldest way. It's completely obvious that he's really straight and doesn't want to be connected in any way with a doper. All the kids at school pretty much know who's on and who's off, and I want to get in with the square kids, but I don't see how I'm going to do it with my reputation hanging over me. I couldn't tell Mom and Dad this, but I really would like to go out on dates. I don't mean with the grass gang, but with the nice kids. I'd like to have a boy put his arm around me in a movie. But how could I ever have that with one of the heads? Everyone knows that sex and shit go together, and as far as I'm concerned, they're a bunch of social lepers. And that's the way the straight kids feel, too. The only sad thing is that I'm still classed as one of them. And I guess I always will be. It's strange how much sex I've had, and yet I don't feel as though I've had any. I still want somebody to be nice and just kiss me goodnight at the door. That's a laugh. Oh, diary, forgive me. I'm trying so hard to have a positive outlook, but I can't. I can't. You're the only one I can really open my soul to. I want to go back and blot out everything and start over. But inside, I'm old and hard, and I'm probably responsible for I don't know how many junior high and grade school kids getting hung up, and they probably have turned around and hung up other kids. How can God ever forgive me? Why would he want to? I guess I'd better go take a bath before my parents hear these stupid-ass crazy sobs, which I can no longer control. Thanks for listening. April 24. The kids have really started hassling me. Twice today, Jan banged into me in the hall and called me Nancy Nice and Mary Pure. But I've had it. I really have had it this time, and if I begin to feel too low, I'm just going to ask Mom and Dad to transfer me to another school. The problem is, where could I go that somebody wouldn't find out about me? And how could I tell Mom and Dad everything so they'd let me change schools? Oh, I really don't know what I'm going to do. I've even started praying every night like I used to when I was little, but now I'm not just saying words, I'm begging. I'm pleading. Good night, diary. April 27. It's terrible not to have a friend. I'm so lonely and so alone. I think it's worse on weekends than during the week. But I don't know. It's pretty bad all the time. April 28. I got some papers back today, and I haven't gotten anything under a B+. I'm also starting a file of statistics relating to kids and drugs. Someday I'll tell you about it when I don't have to spend every minute studying. May 1. Gramps had a stroke. It happened during the night, and Mom and Dad are flying out there today. They'll be gone when we get home from school. They're so sweet. They were more worried about leaving me than anything else. I'm sure they know how lonely and frustrated I am, and I'm sure they ache inside as I do about Gramps. I used to think I was the only one who felt things. But I really am only one infinitely small part of an aching humanity. It's a good thing most people bleed on the inside, or this would really be a gory, blood-smeared earth. Gran will be so lonely if Gramps dies. I just can't picture her without him. It would be like cutting a full person in half. Sweet old Gramps. He used to call me his 5-star general. I think I'll write to him before I leave for school and sign it, Gramps is 5-star general. No one else will know what I'm talking about, but he'll know. Bye now. Date unknown. Dad just called to see if we were all right and to tell us Gramps is worse. He's in a coma now, and all of us are pretty upset, particularly Alex. When I tucked her in bed, like Mom always does, and kissed her goodnight, she asked if she could come and get into bed with me if she got scared during the night. Sweet little thing. But what do you say to someone when they feel rotten and there are no answers? Then I went into Tim's room and kissed him goodnight. He's pretty upset, too, and I guess we're all in rotten shape, even Dad. May 4. Tim and Alex and I all got up at the same time and straightened our rooms and fixed our cereal and fruit and cleaned up the dishes together. We were really quite efficient, if you can believe that. Gotta go to school, but I'll write more tonight if anything great or tragic happens. 9:50 p.m. Dad called, but things are about the same. Gramps is a little worse, but still holding on. They can't really tell which way he's going to go. I guess he's pretty critical, though. Alex clung to me and cried. I feel like crying myself. The house seems so big and lonely and quiet without Mom and Dad. May 5. Gramps died during the night. The day after tomorrow, Dr. Blank from the university is going to take Tim and Alex and me to the airport and we'll fly to his funeral. It seems unbelievable that I will never see Gramps again. I wonder what has happened to him. I hope he's not just cold and dead. I can't bring myself to think of Gramps' body being eaten by worms and maggots. I just can't bear to think that. Maybe the embalming fluid they use just causes the body to disintegrate into dust. Oh, I surely hope so. May 8. I couldn't believe that was Gramps lying in the casket. It was just a tired, drained skeleton covered by skin. Oh, I've seen dead frogs and birds and lizards and Easter chickens, but this was such a shock. It seemed unreal. It was almost like a bad trip. I'm so grateful I never had a bummer. But maybe if my first trip had been, I wouldn't have taken any more. In that respect, I wish it had. Gran seemed so calm and loving. She had one arm around my shoulder and one around Alexandria's. Precious, strong Gran, even during the long, 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 long funeral, she didn't cry. She just sat there with her head bowed. It was a strange, almost eerie thing, but I felt as though Gramps was there beside her. I talked to Tim about it later, and he felt exactly the same way. When they lowered Gramps' body into the ground, that was the worst part. That was positively the worst part in the whole world. Alexandria and I cried, even though none of the rest of the family did. I tried to be as strong and controlled as they are, but I just simply couldn't. Mom and Gran and Dad dabbed at their eyes occasionally, and Tim kept sniffing. And of course Alex is the little girl. But me, well, naturally, I made a spectacle of myself again. May 9. Gran is going home with us tonight, and she'll stay till school is out. Then I'll come back with her and help her get organized to move in with us until she can find a little apartment close by. I don't know when I've ever been so tired in my life. I can't even imagine how Gran holds up because I can barely move. All of us look as though we have been endlessly ill. Even little Alex is dragging. I wonder how long it will take us to adjust to life without Gramps. Will we ever be the same? How will dear, precious Gran manage? When she gets into her new apartment, I'm going to stay with her often and take her to movies and go on long walks with her and things. May 12. This morning I looked out the window and saw new green popping through the soil, and I started crying uncontrollably again. I don't really understand the resurrection. I can't even conceive how Gramps' body, which will decay and sour and mold and mildew and fall into crumbling little bits, can ever come back together again. But I can't understand how a brown, dried-up, shriveled little gladiola bulb can reblossom either. I guess that God can put atoms and molecules and bodies together again if a gladiola bulb without even a brain could do it. This really makes me feel a lot better, and I don't know how I could ever expect to understand death when I can't even understand television or electricity, or even stereo for that matter. In fact, I understand so little I don't know how I even exist. I once read somewhere that man uses less than a tenth, I think, of his brain capacity. Imagine having 90% more thinking ability, and using every bit of it. That would be simply glorious. Imagine what a perfectly marvelous planet this would be if minds were 90 times more efficient than they are now. May 14. I had a nightmare last night about Gramps' body all filled with maggots and worms, and I thought about what would happen if I should die. Worms don't make distinction under the ground. They wouldn't care that I'm young, and that my flesh is solid and firm. Thank goodness Mom heard me moaning and came in and helped me get hold of myself. Then we went and got some hot milk, but I was still crawling, and I couldn't tell her what had happened. I'm sure she thought it had something to do with the times I ran away, but I couldn't tell her, because this was even more horrible. I was still shivering after the milk, so we both put on shoes and walked around the yard. It was chilly even with our robes over our nightclothes, but we talked about a lot of things, including my becoming a social worker or something in that area, and Mom's very pleased that I want to help other people. She is really very understanding. Everybody should be as lucky as I am. May 15. I have to force myself to concentrate in school. I didn't know that death took so much out of people. I feel completely drained still and have to force myself into everything I do. May 16. Today, Dad took me to an anti-war rally at the university. He's very worried and upset about the students and talked to me as though I were an adult. I really enjoyed it. Daddy isn't as worried about the militant students, who he thinks should be dealt with very harshly, as he is about the kids who could be easily led into wrong thinking. I'm worried about them, too. I'm worried about me. Later, we went over to see Dr. Blank, who is also really concerned about the younger generation. He talked a lot about where kids are going, and then he rattled off some statistics that really surprised me. I can't remember half of what he said. He talked so fast. But there are things like 1,000 college-age kids commit suicide every year and another 9,000 try to. VD has gone up 25% among kids my age, and pregnancies are really growing, even with the pill. He also said that crime and mental illness among kids has skyrocketed. In fact, everything he said was worse than the thing before it. When we left, I don't know whether I felt better about what I've done because so many other people are caught up in the same thing, or worse, because everybody's going crazy at once. But to tell you the truth, I really don't think the kids can be blamed for screwing up, at least not entirely. The adults don't seem to be doing much better. In fact, I can't think of one person I'd like to see as president, except Dad, who'd never get elected with me for a daughter. May 19. Well, I got blasted out of the water again today. Someone put a joint in my purse, and I was so scared. I had to cut my next class and take a cab over to Dad's office. I just don't understand why they won't leave me alone. Why are they hassling me like this? Does my existence make them nervous? I really think it does. I really think they're trying to wipe me off the face of the earth or send me to the nut house. It's like I've uncovered a giant spy ring, and I can't be allowed to live anymore. Dad said I have to be strong and adult. He talked to me for a long time, and I'm really grateful that he cares. But I know he doesn't understand their motivations any better than I do. Besides, he doesn't know about Richie and Lane and all the rest. He said the whole family is behind me. But what good does that do when the whole world is against me? It's like Gramps is dying. Everybody feels really terrible about it, but nobody can do anything, including me. May 20. I've managed to get myself into the study grind again, which helps. At least it keeps my mind off you-know-what.